Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Jordi!
Messi Uncle, Ricky Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, always wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of us singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what I think is a pretty anticipated episode of Messi & Co. I am here, as always, with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt, and I'm Ashley. Do I normally say I'm Ashley? I actually just thought about that. I don't think you do.
I mean, maybe you're that famous. You don't need to be named. You're like like Seal or Cher or something. I don't know.
Or like Voldemort. Agreed. Maybe. Yeah, but anyways, welcome. And why I said this is going to be such a maybe talked about episode is because obviously we will be doing our post-match reaction to what was a crazy MLS season opener for Inter Miami where – as it says in the headline, down a man but not defeated, a dramatic 2-2 draw versus New York City FC in a game that was full of everything that you maybe would expect to get in a whole season. We got in the first half, honestly, not even in the full game, in the first half, we got all of that and more. Heart attack Herons back and ready as ever. But yeah, this was a pretty crazy match. Does anyone have any, before we get into it, just overall thoughts and like,
I think it's cool because we all got different perspectives of the game. Obviously, all three of us were there. You know, we got a different perspective. Matt was in there, like in the grind with all the fans as well. Yeah. He was in the stand, so he got up a different perspective. Like, I don't know, from us, like when we were those of us that were in the press box. Like, I think that there was a lot of good conversations as we were talking about before the pod started about different people who should start, shouldn't start, and as well as things that didn't really have to happen. That should have been a lot easier of a game, I think, than what it ended up being. So there's a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things that we can discuss today. But how was it, Matt? Like in the stands, how were the fans reacting?
It was absolutely incredible. It's such a lively atmosphere, and it felt so good being back at the stadium after so long. But it looked essentially sold out. It was packed stadium, and everybody sitting around me, they were showing all types of emotions. They were happy, they were angry, they were cursing at everybody. Like it was just awesome. It was an awesome.
Were they losing
atmosphere.
Hope, or like were they from the beginning? They knew that this, you know, we were always in it, because obviously going down a man, I think early. How was everybody?
I can tell you right now that everybody didn't like. We were all behind the team. Like everybody was really like yelling at like all the players or all the people in the stand that were yelling at the players, motivating them to do better. They never lost hope one time, and they were cheering for literally every single thing. Honestly, I was looking distraught when it was like the 99th minute in the game, and like it was still 2-1 up. We were still 2-1 down, but no, everybody was back in the team, and it was just awesome. It was just awesome to experience.
That's so funny. It makes me think of like the meme or the thing where it's like Patrick Mahomes, like don't give him 13 seconds, like too much time on the clock. Like it's the same thing for Messi, like 110th minute out of 100, too much time on the clock. Yeah. Like he'll get it. So, and I think I'm glad we have your perspective, Matt, and having you on just in general, but specifically for games, because I was previously, and obviously so was Gian, regular fans going to the game and sat in the regular, in the stadium. My mom still has season tickets. So every once in a while I'll say, I'm not going to do the press. I'm going to go sit with the family, but really for the last year for 99% of the matches, Gian and I are in the press box. And so we have a very, like, I think we're used to a different perspective now where one, it's not as loud. You can hear the fans. You can definitely hear the fans. You can hear the cheering. You can hear like the groans. You can hear the unrest with the referee, which obviously we'll talk about. You can hear the cheering when they score, the fouls, etc. But it's not as loud as like when you open the door, you can hear it's really loud. We also have the commentary in the box, which is the live play-by-play call, color commentary call in Spanish, which is played on speaker within. So it's not like you're listening to fans, you're listening to like commentary the whole time. And then there's three monitors that show all of the
replays. You're living the good life up there is what I'm hearing.
Well,
it's like
I think it's like we were talking about it earlier, how you, you know, said, oh, everyone was excited and you couldn't tell all
the
things.
Are you sure you're not in the VIP, Ash? Like, that doesn't sound like where I'm at. Like, sometimes you disappear. I think you've been going to the VIP section.
You're right. I'm in the suite.
That's in the Beckham suite up there.
What do you mean VIP? I don't understand Spanish. So the whole thing's literally in Spanish to me the whole time.
It's cool because it's actually Fernando Fiore. So,
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Commenting in Spanish, and everybody gets a good laugh, man. He's really funny. His sayings, the things that he says, even Ash that can have a poquito Spanish. She laughs sometimes with the way that Fiore says something. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. Nice to hear.
It's good teaching for me, honestly, like, because I do, it's like trial by fire. I have to try and understand something and I'm seeing it. So it's like, you know, some of it's clicking. But anyways, all of that to say, I think we all have sometimes slightly different perspectives of like what we see in the game and what we think is overall trends and like big things we notice. So what I wanted to do for this episode, because there are so many big topics for us to discuss, I wanted to get our followers involved because we have a really big community. We have a lot of people who, you know, follow us on X, who watch our videos. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel, by the way, 5 Reasons Football, where we're putting all of our new episodes, and you're following us on X at Messi & Co. But we got a lot of people who are looking for updates, who are giving their, you know, their ideas, their perspective. And I wanted to know how everyone felt overall. So I put out a couple polls, and I think I'm going to use these for this episode. These are going to be the guides to some of our conversations. And if we have other things to talk about, we can chat them out, of course. But we'll kind of go chronologically, starting with the first poll and with what is, I think, the most memorable aspect of the match, which is Tomas Aviles getting the goal, the first goal of the MLS season for Inter Miami, right? A great goal. Having what I would say was a pretty good first quarter of the game. You know, we were like, wow, we're seeing some maturity. We're seeing some good play. And then a red card that he got. And I think the 30 something minute, a straight red card, one that immediately, I think everyone was a little bit confused and a little bit, why wasn't this yellow? What happened? It ended up because the foul was right outside the box and he was the last defender. So it was denying a clear goal scoring opportunity, which is a red card. And so Inter Miami were down to 10 men for the rest of the match, which of course provided some challenges, as we know. But
it was minute 5 by minute 23. Sorry,
23.
Yeah. Oh wow, I was giving credit for 30. Okay, 23. a question that we discussed it in the preseason. We discussed it at the end of last season. What do you do with Tomas Aviles? Because a player who definitely has some young talent, obviously from the Argentinian youth setup. has had some good moments for Inter Miami, but is clearly has a discipline issue and is incredibly unreliable, as you saw last year, with multiple suspensions from yellow and red card accumulation. Game one, first half, first 20 minutes, gets a red card. When he's available after this three-match ban, do you think he's earned his way back to continue to start? Because I'll start with this one. I created the poll. I created those four questions. Once he returns, is it time to bench Tomas Aviles? Yes, I think it is. Because while you may say on paper, and maybe if you're looking at everyone based off of their pure quote-unquote talent or their ceiling, you can say, I think Tomas Aviles is you know, the best two available center backs that I would want him to start, right? And I think he fits, he plays with the team the most. He has the most potential, X, Y, and Z. Let's say all of those things are true. I still would put someone who I would think on paper is not as good as him, because I think you can rely on them more. And one of the biggest assets or aspects of being a good pro and a good player on a team is being available. And Tomas Aviles has simply not learned how to keep himself available. And it doesn't seem like a trend that's changing anytime soon. So I think he deserves to be benched and he has to re-earn his spot, because right now his discipline, yeah, he gets, you know, the bans or he gets sent off or whatever, but the team doesn't punish him. Every single time he's available, he gets chosen. And I think it's not a good precedent. And I think it he deserves to be benched.
Yeah, 100%. I think that with Tomas Aviles, I think that you have a guy that's good, that's shown he's a good player. But the issue is with this team is, as you said, his reliability. Mm-hmm. I'm looking here at the disciplinary guidelines for MLS in 2024 and just kind of looking through how many cards. He ended up with 13 cards, 13 yellows and 2 red cards. So basically he left the team twice early with 10 men last season. And throughout the season, going through 13 cards, he actually was suspended 4 times. That's another 4 times that he wasn't available for the team. We know that Inter Miami struggled very much on the defensive end last season. How difficult is it for a coach, when we're talking about Tata Martino last season, to be able to try to already deal with a very fickle defense, to try to put together a reliable one when you have a player that you never know if he's going to be, when he's on the pitch, you don't know if he's going to make it to the end of the game. And when you're trying to get your next roster up, he's not available because he's constantly suspended. So I think that that's really difficult on a coach. You know, Mascherano's basically a new coach coming into MLS. I don't know if that's something he's going to want to deal with. It's something he's going to have to outweigh the pros and cons of having Aviles on the pitch. Luckily, because of the fact that we have a really good team, we were able to surpass that and be able to get what, you know, some may say we rescued a point, but in reality, I think we lost 2 because that should have been not that difficult of a game, I think, for us. And Tomas Aviles made that a very difficult game for us, even though he did score early on in the game. So for me, knowing that you have a deeper bench, a deeper defense, you've got Maxi Falcón, you have Noah Allen, that has been playing, in my opinion, really, really well. You have Luján, you have Ian Frey that can also play center back. And that's probably a conversation we'll have later on about where he may fit. You've got other guys that are reliable and that are good as well that can very easily take his place. And I think that Aviles needs a dose of reality, a bucket of cold water, sit down, and you're not invincible, man. You need to earn the spot. And right now, I don't think he's earning the spot.
I 100% agree with you, because when you really look at it, he has to learn that his actions have consequences. From my angle during the game, the foul happened on the complete opposite side. But at the end of the day, it was a red card. Everybody was all shocked and trying to argue it. 100% it's a red card. You're pulling his shirt. I don't care if it's hard or soft. You're pulling his shirt. It's outside the box. He's the last man. It's dog so. And Aviles has to realize that he can't be making those kinds of decisions on the field, because that could, and that foul, that red card, ended up to a goal. Like, they end up scoring from that play. Mascherano, Aviles, they need to have a sit down. They need to reevaluate the whole situation. Mascherano specifically, we've been seeing Luján playing that center back role. Like you said, Noah Allen has been playing brilliantly in that left center back role as well. Ian Frey, we know that he can do a really good job. Aviles needs to be benched. He needs to this guy reminds me of like Gonzalez Pires, if you guys remember how they're the same player, except that Toto is like 10 years younger. It's the same thing. Gonzalez Pires was getting suspended every other game, getting a yellow card every single game. This is the same situation, but he was still playing. So I don't know, will he get benched? Probably not. But does really, he have to? Like he needs to. It has and to be.
We're not going to say yet because I don't want to bring any bias, but if he gets put in automatically and we see this happen one or two other times a season, I'll bring up the difficult conversation, which is he getting these kind of things because of his passport? I hope not. I'm going to give Mascherano and I'm going to give this team the benefit of the doubt. It's a new season. You know, it was his position last year. They started with his position now. I'm going to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But if we see this trend continue and he doesn't get punished internally, I think that's a really big red flag. Yeah. I want to pull up the poll really quickly, just one more time, because I do think this part of it is interesting. There are four options here, but obviously there's two technical options, which is yes, he should be benched or no. And based on this poll, it's almost a 50-50 split, which I thought is really interesting. And that's why I'm really glad we did this. And you'll see it throughout all the polls. They're closer than I thought they'd be. People saying the biggest other answer was no, don't bench him, still time to grow. I mean, you know, when you look at this is all hindsight 2020, of course, but certainly like when you had a Sergio Ramos, so you have other strong-headed, maybe even a Maxi Falcon, strong-headed center backs who had this issue reoccurring, you dealt with it because you thought his gains was so much more than when he had these moments and losses. But what I'll say for this Inter Miami team, and you both alluded to it, we have way more defensive options now that we did last year. We have in center backs alone, outside of Aviles, you know, we have Lujan, we have Maxi, we have Noah Allen, we have Ian Frey. You know, obviously if Chelo is hurt, which we'll get to, then he will be a right back, so he probably wouldn't play there. But we have Ryan Saylor, and worst comes to worst, we have Sergio Busquets. So we have right there, I just named five center backs that I would play over Tomas Aviles right now because of the disciplinary issues. So we'll wait and see, but yeah.
I want to bring something up really quick too, just while we're on the topic of the play, just because I've seen some conversation online about, you know, what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to just let him go and score? And what I really think about that play, just to make it a bit more clear, is I think that obviously Noah Allen got beat on the initial play. Mm-hmm. The New York City forward doesn't control the ball well. And then Noah Allen actually is able to get into a good position. I think that for me, Aviles didn't play that correctly, put himself into a bad positioning, actually made it more difficult for Noah Allen to try to, you know, control that play. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is also soccer IQ, because you got to think to yourself, you're still so early on in the game. Is it really worth risking whether they see it or not? Yes, we've seen that same play, not even called before, where you hold the shirt. Would the referee even have called it if Aviles wouldn't have had the successful slide in and he would have fallen? Maybe he wouldn't. Who knows? The point is, don't put yourself in that position, because at the end of the day, if he scores, at least, or if he ends up with a one-on-one, at least give Ustari the chance to block it. And if he doesn't score, man, you've still got 60 minutes of game to play. And with this team, with Messi on the field and Suarez, Busquets, Alba, Redondo, everybody, bro, believe in your team. You can't leave. I would rather you let us get scored on in minute 20-something than leave us 60-something minutes with a man down. And I think that that's where the IQ comes down. And that to me was the biggest mistake, was the soccer IQ not being present in that moment.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, honestly. I was going to say literally the same thing, but you said it so well. Them getting – both of them got beat. Noah Allen and Aviles both got beat. I think it was Martinez or something from NYCFC who beat them. You need trust in your goalie. You need trust in your team. You need trust in Ustari. You need to have trust in Ustari that he's going to make that one-on-one save. And if he doesn't, he does it. That's it. You made a mistake on that. You got beat in that defense. That's it. You reset and you keep playing. And now you're putting your team at a disadvantage. By getting that red card, huge, huge IQ thing. And I also want to say this before, you know, we move on, but benching Aviles, for people said, no, he still needs time to learn. being benched is a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like especially when you're 20 years old, if you're being benched because of your actions, that's a learning opportunity. You have to sit down as a player and be like, okay, why did I get benched? I did this mistake. I got beat. I shouldn't have gotten the red, whatever, whatever, whatever. And you learn from that mistake. Being benched is not a bad thing. We're not saying we should drop Aviles from the team, sell him, trade him, whatever. Or we're saying that maybe he needs time to evaluate, maybe a game, maybe two games, and see and just learn from his mistakes. And that could be, and I think that's the best option for him. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, 100. I mean, he's that. It's the IQ issue because it's he's not getting better at the specific part, which is the problem. Because you can teach skill, you can teach, I think, ability when it comes to, you know, certain aspects of it, like defense, etc. Like, you know, those intangibles, or excuse me, those tangible items you can teach, but he's not improving his match day decision making. You know, one, you're already winning. Two, you have Messi, the greatest player of all time, on your team. Three, it's the 23rd minute. Those things to not go through your head and to all of those things to not go into your thinking when you're making that play is a problem, because you're like, oh, it was 0.2 seconds. He made the decision, but he's getting paid to make the right decision there, and he didn't. And so that's the problem. You're getting chosen and paid, and you're not making the right decision. So, yeah, I think we all agree on this one. Sticking with the defensive line, though, right? Sticking with defense, the second poll I put out, which I think is also going to garner pretty good discussion, is who would be in your best 11? And I say that with the caveat who's currently available, because that's me saying Aviles, obviously, suspended for 3 matches. And we're going to all just assume that Mascherano is going to have a little bit of a spine and is going to not put him back in immediately after 3 matches. I'll say it. That's one caveat. And then obviously Chelo, who maybe we wouldn't choose normally, but on top of that, obviously injured at the end of the first half and will not be available for, you imagine, a couple weeks. So based on that, who is your best four in a starting back four? And this too, a lot closer than I expected. I'll let Gian, what are your thoughts on this? And do you agree with what the masses chose?
Sorry, so I guess, so the majority is Alba, Luján, Maxi, and Frey, which is interesting to me because you've got people putting more trust in Luján than Allen, even though we haven't seen as much from Luján yet as we've seen from Allen. And I think that Allen has really shown, man, like, he is a starting, in my eyes, he's a starting caliber center back. What he lacks in height, he makes up in speed, in strength, in IQ. Obviously, not every player is perfect. Even Puyol has made mistakes. We saw even Ala make a mistake that led to a goal. So, you know, this is Noah Allen, who is a lot younger. He looks like he's 15 years old. But you know, he's a young guy. He's growing. He's got mentors like Alba and Busquets that can show him the right way to play defense. And he's already playing really good. So for me, that was weird. I would expect that one to have probably been a little higher. The other surprising thing, I guess, is it's Alba, Allen, Luján, and Frey. So maybe those that put, you know, that has 20%, maybe those that kind of voted that way don't know that Maxi Falcón exists, maybe. But and I don't know how you have, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because at least they have Allen, so they know what's up. But Maxi not being there in Luján is a little weird to me. I'm going Alba, Allen, Maxi, Frey. I freaking love that. And that, to me, doesn't matter if Aviles is, you know, available or not available. That, to me, right now is the starting best four in the defense right now.
I have to agree. Alba, Allen, Maxi, and Frey, I think, is the only real answer here. The disrespect to not put Noah Allen in this back four is just beyond me. Like, Noah Allen has proved himself to everybody, to the coach, to the fans, that he deserves that left center back spot. Like, that is his position as of right now, and nobody can take that away from him until he takes it away himself. Noah Allen, he played so well against NYCFC, so he needs to play there. Maxi, we have yet to see him play, right? But with the expectations that we have him coming into the team, and we know how good of a center back that he really is, I think that he also just he is essentially on paper the best center back that we have. Luján didn't impress me as much probably didn't impress a lot of people since he's joined in the preseason, since he's played in the preseason. Against NYCFC, I think he had a couple of good moments, but nothing really to be like, okay, like this guy's our starting center back, probably one of the best center backs, but I mean, still a good player. And obviously Ian Frey. Honestly, and I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it, anybody but Chelo at that right back spot. You can put Gressel in there. I don't mind. You can put Ian Frey there. You can literally put anybody there, and I wouldn't care. So we like you can, anybody but Chelo is fine. And now he's finally benched. It's due to an injury, which is never good for anybody. I wouldn't want to wish any injuries upon any player. But I'm just saying he's finally benched.
So, and we're not gonna do a whole lot. And we're not gonna do
No. That's all I got.
If you really want to know. The thoughts behind Chelo, go to the last episode that we did, and we did an entire segment on Chelo. So this we're not going to do that again.
No, that's it.
Honestly,
in the press box,
I was worried there's going to be like a red dot on our heads. We're like, the Chelo supporters are looking for us. But yeah, I honestly think the reason to in the poll that you see, you know, such close options is because a lot of players – a lot of fans haven't seen Maxi play. And I mean, obviously, you know, we can say that based on, you know, not a lot of people have looked at the Chilean league or, you know, have maybe taken the time to watch highlights or see things. I also would say, you know, Gianyu, obviously from Ecuador and the Libertadores, you see that. You see, I think him and that kind of style in those teams a lot more than the average Inter Miami or Messi fan. So I think part of the reason that poll is also due to just like not knowing him yet and seeing his thing and, you know, knowing Noah Allen or even Lujan, who has probably more pedigree than Noah Allen on paper, whether you think that in general is remains to be seen. I agree, though, Noah Allen has earned his spot right now based on his play, has been playing really, really well and deserves to keep it. And I think tomorrow you'll probably see the first option in that poll is as you're starting for, you know, with Lujan, or it will be Allen and Lujan. I don't really think like that's why I put number three, because if Maxi maybe from a fitness standpoint or from a team standpoint hasn't quite ready to start, that's really why I put option three, because I think maybe just, you know, Maxi may not immediately be starting and playing all 90 minutes, right? So that's kind of like why I did it. But I think we all agree on like the structure of it and what we would like to see moving forward, with the idea that those center backs really could kind of, you know, they could change out. There's a lot of matches, there's a lot of rotation. So
yeah, we had a couple of comments on there, one saying that obviously they would want to have Aviles instead of Allen. So it's like a tweak to that first one. And then we had somebody that actually put Puyol at right back. So
anti-Ian Frey comments I was seeing on Saturday. I think he made a couple mistakes in the second half, but man, I think his floor is still much better than a lot
of loved him
defenders' ceilings. Yeah.
Everybody, every time Ian Frey like touched the ball, he passed the ball, he made a tackle, everybody was like, let's go, Ian, let's go. And I'm like,
dude, he was the one that put that pass. He did the majority of the work for that second goal, and he put in that pass right into Messi before he got clobbered.
100%.
Which is a great thing. He adds that dynamic of offense that you really don't get from him, who we will not name.
Agreed. And I think we will, like I said, I think we'll be seeing him starting moving forward, and less of, I mean, of course, he's going to need to be ready. He cannot play every match 90 minutes. We know that, obviously, with his injury history. So we'll wait and see, but it'll be very interesting. I'm glad we spent the first 30 minutes of this talking about defense. We never do. We always talk about Messi and offense. Like, this was important. The defense is going to really be what I think, like, the make or break of this season. And Saturday is a great example. But yeah, let's move on to the third question, which was about the overall performance, right? Which was saying, of the players who were available, who do you think had the best performance? And I said outside of Messi, because, you know, Messi's worst is still better than, you know, 90% of people that ever played the game, and he still got two assists. And I mean, he was the player of the match. And so outside of him, who had the best team performance? This one surprised me, honestly, these results surprised me. Now, maybe this is because I only gave these three options, but I tried to give options where they played either the majority of the game or had the most impact, right? And so even though Segovia only played in the second half, obviously he scored that goal and, you know, made a big impact, I think, in how the team played in the second half. And then Alan, we just spoke about how his performance was really, really, really fantastic Saturday. But Busquets was the clear winner here. Thoughts?
I don't mind it.
Maybe we're just used to, it's like the same thing. Like, he's so good, right? Like,
I'm really surprised.
Listen, okay. I don't mind this because these were the best three players on the day. Cremaschi ghosted. Ruiz didn't do anything. Alba
was sacrificed. He was sacrificed
He was sacrificed. You know, Suarez completely ghosted. These were the best three players outside of Messi that I think played on the day. Obviously, Noah Allen had an amazing defensive performance. Busi was the heart of the team. And so Govi obviously scored the winning goal. He came off the bench. He did everything. He was running. He was passing the ball. He was really trying. He was giving us that energy that we needed in the final minutes of the game. So, and I don't mind Busquets because Busquets plays outstanding every single game. So it's like if Busquets is not, in theory, right, like your answer, like if you don't think he played a good game, like you're wrong. Like, he always is going to play a good game. But no, I think obviously I personally would give it to Noah Allen because he isn't talked about enough. But that's, I'm also saying that knowing that Busi plays the best every single time that Inter Miami touched that field.
Yeah. Like, when I'm saying I'm surprised, it's not because I don't think he was one of the best. I'm surprised because I feel like he's the most one of the most underappreciated on this team.
Yes.
I constantly see people not talking ill about Busi and how this and that. And I'm like, I think that if you're saying something bad about Busi, I think you don't understand the game.
Yeah.
At 100%. You may know how some things work, but when you really know about the ins and outs and how a team operates and what the motor of a team is. Okay, yeah, Messi is the motor, but this is a two motor team, and without Busi, this team does not operate at 100%. His ability to connect defense with offense, his ability to put the passes and facilitate everything is really why this team can be successful. And as we saw in periods of his absence, especially going into the MLS Cup playoffs, missing him, how detrimental that really was to Inter Miami. So, Busi's always going to be one of the top players. I think, Ashley, when you put this together, I think you really did a great job of picking the right players. I have to agree, Allen, to me, was definitely one of the top ones.
Wow.
Segovia, obviously, with his goal, he got himself into a great position for Messi to be able to put that through ball, and then ultimately just a beautiful finish, a little chip over the goalie was excellent. If I was going to go into the someone else, I would have probably typed in Ian Frey. Just because I think he played excellent. And I think obviously he had something to do with the connection between obviously him, Messi, and then the goal that Segovia had. So I think he had an excellent game. So those would be my top four. And really, I don't even know if you can really put an order to that, but let's just give it to Segovia because he had the game winning goal.
Yeah. Well, so I'm glad you guys agreed with this. I didn't want to put Frey because I feel like one, we always talk about Ian Frey, and I think it would have detracted from what was, you know, interesting other performances. I'm glad you guys were aligned on this. I'll say two things. A really quick, like, tidbit is that before Messi joined, and, you know, in general, I am and always has been a very big soccer fan. I used to live in England, so I've seen soccer, you know, when it was the main sport, not like here where it's not, but, you know, so I've learned and understood it. But then when Messi joined and when we started doing the show, I really started to learn soccer at a much higher level and, you know, watching more and more film and discussions and commentary and all those things. And I will say the first game last season, which I believe was against Real Salt Lake when it was a home game, I think to start off the season, it was a Wednesday. And I saw it was Suarez, Busquets, Messi, Alba. When I saw Suarez and you know, him and Busquets play during that match, I was like, they're so much better than everyone else. It's crazy. And I even put Suarez in that camp because, yeah, you know, some his legs are gone, X, Y, and Z. But you see him, especially last year, from minute one, he is so competitive and he is thinking ahead of everyone and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And he's pushing everyone on his team to do the right thing. Like, such just to be like one of the greatest, you have to have that mentality, no matter if you're like 70 or 17, I think. And like, you know, you see it when you're watching them. Not sometimes the TV, I don't think, gives a, you know, the whole picture, but when you're seeing there in person, and with Busquets too, Busquets is playing in slow motion compared to everyone else. So is Messi, obviously, but like, it seems like he's playing.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Half speed, and it looks like he's slow when you're looking at it on TV, but yeah, it's just because he's so ahead of everyone else, and he knows exactly where the ball is going to be, exactly what pass to make, exactly where each player is going to be on his team and the opposing team. He already knows. Like, it's not a question. He knows everything that's going to happen every minute, and it's just, you know, one of the best to ever play his position. So him being chosen was not a bad shout out at all. My second thing I will say, my choice of those three, Telasco Segovia, in my opinion, and I said this to Gian at the game, I thought he played a sensational second half. Not just good, I thought he was great, especially down to 10 men. He was creating so much offense. He was covering so much space. He was making such good passes and runs. You know, he had a couple times he was, you know, trying to get that over ball or give Messi that over ball, creating really, really great offensive moments in a difficult position. I was really wildly impressed. And if he gets the start, it wouldn't surprise me, because that's how good I think he played in the second half. And that goal was that's not an easy goal. That is, and for being such a young guy, his first home game, that takes some cojones. Yeah, that's tough.
A lot of composure from
that. That was a hell of a goal, and I thought he had a hell of a half, and so I think he definitely deserves credit for it.
Yeah, agreed. He's definitely going to be a starter. I can't think of anybody really that would take his place right now. I think it's really him and probably Tadeo are going to be the guys that are going to make that top three with Messi behind serving the ball and doing everything else. So, you know, and it's a good blend too, because obviously if him and Tadeo are going to go ahead and start, Tadeo is going to be the more offensive guy, even though he is going to help somewhat. But I think that Segovia really has a good mix. He's kind of like a box to box. He'll help in the defense, and then he'll also be in the offense. So I'm really, really happy with that signing. To me, one of the top signings.
1,000%. Yeah, he's our best. I think he's our signing of the season right now. If he does well.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but overall, really, really good. And I'm happy that he got the goal, because I think he deserved it. He worked his ass off that second half and did really good plays, right? Like winning plays. So now the other end of the spectrum, who was the player that underperformed or didn't necessarily reach expectations? I don't want to say like the worst, like terrible, like, you know, I don't want to use that. I'll say who didn't excel, didn't live up to the expectations, factoring in the unique circumstances, which is obviously one injury, which we didn't mention, but obviously Fafa Picoult, wishing him the best. Tough to get that injury so early in the game. You knew his family was there, hometown kid. Tough. Hope he recovers quickly and can come back. But with all of those things into consideration, who didn't show up? And so I am really surprised about this. I'm going to give my thought last, but whoever wants to go first. Do you want to agree with this, or would you have this in a different order, or is there someone else?
The order, this is a very difficult question, because like at the end of the day, they all underperformed. I don't think any one of these players on this list had played a good game, or probably, I think Jordi, outside of the own goal, probably played the best of the four. So
yeah,
I'm not going to give Jordi any smack, even though he did make that mistake leading to the goal. Taylor literally, I didn't even see him play. Like Taylor just didn't play. He wasn't on the field. Like it's just that it is what it is. Cremaschi, same thing. It was weird, because these are players, especially Cremaschi. I thought that Cremaschi would be a little bit more standout, but I know we saw him play right back for a bit in the, I believe it was in the beginning of the second half, or
towards
the
end. Wild decision.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, that's new. That's interesting. So, and we didn't see a lot from him from there either, which probably was like the biggest mistake. I don't think playing him at right back was a good idea. So
he was getting burned.
It wasn't the best. So I'm not gonna give, that wasn't his choice. So I'm not gonna give him a smack for that either. Suarez, we always have high expectations of Suarez, right? Suarez is always having a bad game until he scores. And that's what I just feel like, right? And I don't know if that's just me, but Suarez is always having a bad game until he scores.
100% true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I think this is it. Like, he had a bad game because not only did he not score, but he barely passed. I think he took one shot all game. He was trying to be in the right positions at the right times, but at the end of the day, it just didn't work out. Him being subbed out was the right decision, but at the end of the day, I just don't think we had anybody. And now it's like, it brings up another question, is like, okay, do we have a striker? Do we need a striker? Whatever. So honestly, I kind of agree with this. I think Suarez being held to that standard, being held to that expectation, I think he probably underperformed the most of the four.
Gian?
I'm looking at this poll. It's really interesting. So Taylor is a guy that I think a lot of us really liked last season, especially at the beginning before he kind of lost his position to, I think it was Diego Gomez, who ended up, which obviously understandably, but he was doing good. I loved the speed that he would bring and his ability to then cut in, and he would score great goals. He cut in and then, you know, shoot to the back post and beautiful goals. He's just not seeing that that Taylor this year, but it's also I don't know if it's something mental or something, the fact that he was getting minutes and then all of a sudden he's not. It's got to be a tough, I think, to be in that position as a player, right? And I think he's just so far down in the pecking order right now because, you know, if it's not Tadeo, Telasco, or you've got now Fafa, Picolt, you know, Cremasti is in front of him. So I think that's got to be tough for him. But I don't know. I didn't see him as that bad. You know, obviously he didn't have a great game. So it kind of...
That's why I didn't pick him. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to pick him that.
Yeah, he didn't have an awful game either. Mm-hmm. Jordi... I think Cremasti was in a tough position as well, especially them going into the right back. I was joking with Ashley that Mascherano was like, "Hey, you ever play right back?" No. Well, you're gonna learn today. I think that was tough, like on him. So maybe he, you know, we'll cut him some slack. But definitely Alba and Suarez, I think, were the ones that maybe you come to expect more. So anytime that they make a mistake, it just seems so much more, I think, it has a bigger impact on everybody. You just don't expect Jordi Alba to make that type of mistake. We've seen errant passes and that sort of thing, but the fact that he put in that pass that led directly, you know, to a goal, and it was a really gross error. Like, it was really bad, that pass. They asked Noah Allen about that pass in the post game conference, and I think he did the most like politically correct like answer ever, and he was like, "Yo, that was that wasn't really just him. It's a team effort, you know. Maybe I should have been in a better spot." Like, he's like,
"Props to Noah Allen."
Which is a good answer.
He did the good thing. He didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. He said, "Maybe I should have been in a better position, you know, maybe." And I'm like, okay, that shows maturity. So another more kudos to Noah Allen. But Suarez, like you said, you know, I think the previous game in Conca Champions, he had two opportunities at goal. That if those would have gone in, we would have said he was probably the best player on the pitch. They were really close shots that he almost scored. And this one, too, I think that he's just having a lot of trouble maybe getting into good spots. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's an overcrowding issue, because now we have more people. If you really noticed last game, we had a ton of people on that front line. You really had, you know, three people with him. I don't know what it is, but... I guess I'll end with this. I'm just going to go with Alba just because of the fact that we expect more from him as a leader on the defense. And for him to make an error like that, I think was very, really bad. So I'll just say he had out of all the players, he had the poorest showing because of that, I would say.
Yeah.
I know probably people disagree with me and it's debatable. I understand. But I'm just going to go based on the goal. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think those are both good answers. I'm going to completely disagree. And I'm going to be probably a little harsher than he deserves. But I thought Robert Taylor really did not take advantage of his opportunity. And I'll say it for a couple of reasons and ways. First of all, Suarez, when you're with 11 players, it's still difficult. And you know what he's going to bring, which is when he has his moments and when the offense is firing and when there's players around him, he's going to get opportunities to score. And you expect him to finish those goals. From minute 23, he was down to 10 men. Him and Messi obviously don't track back as much. So there was never a chance for him to succeed in this match at this age and at this point of his career. So I'm actually not going to blame him because I think it was out of his control. Alba, I think, has done enough good things for Inter Miami to give him a pass where he made an error, obviously. It happens. I still, you know, he still is putting in the work and he's putting in the thing. So I'm not going to give him that. But you were not wrong, Gian. He gave up the goal. I think it's fair for this particular game if you want to give him that criticism. Cremasti, putting him at right back was a bad decision by Mascherano. I think he learned from it very quickly. I think he was just trying to do things. I also think Julian Gressel, who we didn't talk about because I think we're waiting to see what happens with him and maybe getting traded. If he was available, I think he would have been put into the game. And obviously hindsight's 2020. You know, Javier didn't expect Fafa to get out of injury, Cello to be injured, and a red card. So when all those things happened, like, yeah, Julian Gressel would have been great, but you didn't know that was going to happen. So I think he was just trying to find balance. So I'm not going to blame Cremasti. All of this to say, and I said this to Gian multiple times, and this could also be an instance of just because of our angle and what we're able to see and listen to is slightly different than what you're able to see, Matt. Mm-hmm. I was watching for the whole, literally the whole entire second half. New York gave 40 yards for Robert Taylor and didn't come near him. And no one passed it to him because they didn't think he didn't have the confidence and he wasn't making the right decisions when he brought it those few times he had in the first half. He had two or three chances. You have to score, especially when you're a bench player and especially when you're not getting opportunities. You need to score one of those goals. He had, I can think of off the top of my head, two golden chances that he should have done better with. He was not doing good spacing. He was not making the right decision making. And like I said, the biggest sort of red flag or the biggest knock you can give on someone is, I'm telling you, there was no one within 20 yards of him for the last 30 minutes of the match because New York City didn't believe he would do something and no one in Inter Miami was passing it to him. They wouldn't give it to him because they didn't think he was going to make something of it. And man, when you're put in that situation where you're down to 10 men, you know, the player in front of you got injured. You're playing against an opponent. Like, it's not like you're playing Real Madrid or even, you know, playing Columbus or Cincinnati. Like, you're playing a team who you're better than. You have to make more of that opportunity. And whether it's due to lack of confidence, playing time, whatever the situation is, he really didn't take advantage of it. And he became a liability, in my opinion, where I was watching and I was like, it's like there's only eight players. Like, there's a goalie and on offense, it's either Messi or it was Segovia. And that was it. And I'm like, how are you really like floundering this opportunity to such a point that no one's even looking on your side of the field to make the pass? And so to me, because of all of those factors and because of, you know, what I said, the other issues for the other players, man, I was just disappointed. I was disappointed you didn't take advantage of it and it caught my eye. But like I said, that was harsh, but that's what I thought.
And I think Mascherano, I think it was more of a strategic thing, him knowing also the whole thing with Lucremasti, because he didn't want to get too thin, I think, on substitutions. He brought in Redondo. He had to take out Chelo because Chelo was injured. So he brought in Kremaski and moved him back. That way he could actually bring in Redondo. But ultimately, I think he realized it pretty quick because 11 minutes later, or 13 rather, he brought in Luján for Kremaski. And he's like, yeah, this is obviously not working. We're going to get in trouble if I don't move him. But lesson learned. That's not the spot where Kremaski needs to be.
But yeah. So, I mean, before we move on to our last topic, does anyone super disagree? Am I being a little too harsh? Do you feel that way at all? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember like how I saw the game sitting there, because honestly, when you were talking about like NYCFC just giving him all that time and space in the world, I mean, like, I believe it because I don't remember just looking over to Robert Taylor and be like, okay, Robert Taylor has the ball. Like, what is he going to do? Like, it happened very few times. And like you said, he had a couple of opportunities. I think he had like you said, two or three shots. And I think two of them got blocked. I forget. But no, I do remember just like him. I didn't pay a lot of attention to him because he wasn't really doing anything. Like he was just kind of there. He was just kind of taking up some space, I guess. But I don't think you're being too, too harsh. I think it kind of just brings up a question like, well, is Robert Taylor's time done at Inter Miami? Is he like we already said he's so far down the pecking order and in that depth chart list that does he deserve to come off the bench anymore and be, is he going to be as impactful as he was maybe in previous seasons? I don't know, but I don't think it's too harsh. I definitely think it's a conversation worth having.
I really think that if he's going to be successful here, he just needs more time. I like his player profile, and I think it's something that Inter Miami needs because they don't have people that can really take people one-on-one, and I think Robert Taylor has that speed and that dynamic where he can be able to create space for himself. I just think that it's a lot to expect from a player that's not getting a lot of minutes to just get thrown into a game and expect them to do a lot. So I think that maybe I have a bit more leniency for Robert Taylor in that aspect. I still would love for him to get the time, but I don't think, based off of what we've seen, that he's going to get that time where he can.
He was treated unfairly at the end of last season as well. Yeah. So, I mean, no, yeah. I there's no right answer to it, but yeah. I think, yeah, no, it's I think what you said is fair.
1,000%. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. Like I said, it was a harsh take, and I think maybe it's just me comparing to the other three players. Like, I have reasons for the other three players and their performances. I just surprised and disappointed that he didn't take advantage of it more. But to be fair, you know, it's been a while. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. You know, it takes time to adjust. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll prove me wrong, and hopefully with these injuries and these changes, he gets more minutes and he shows up. I will say I was very, very surprised Inter Miami didn't move on from him in the summer, because I thought, honestly, in MLS and other like smaller markets, I thought he would be a name where he would attract some attention and get a little bit more after what was, you know, such a fiery start with Messi. So I was really surprised that Inter Miami, that there wasn't any agreement met to move him on, but we'll see. Okay. Last topic to wrap up. And obviously we really haven't spoken this much this episode about Messi, which is rare for us. But maybe that's because this game had so much going on that, yeah, you know,
it was a lot.
Man, what's the biggest takeaway? And I think, that's kind of what we see here, which is, you know, one, is it the fact that Messi gets 2 assists, probably should have scored a couple goals. I mean, again, opportunities you'd expect him to maybe finish, but was put in difficult circumstances. The referee, which we really haven't talked about, and I think we're going to spend a couple minutes now saying it. The injuries and red card, which I think we've done our, you know, due diligence of talking about throughout this show, or something else, and no one chose something else because I do think those were kind of the main topics that ever was on everyone's mind. And the winner of this poll, which again surprised me, which is I'm so glad I did this because wow, we got a lot of different feedback and a lot of different people's opinions. Messi's assist was really the biggest takeaway for a lot of followers. And I disagree. I think the biggest takeaway was, man, that was really bad refereeing to a point where it really affected the outcome of the match. And Inter Miami rescued a point. And you could say things happen on both sides. Things are called, things are missed. That's how the sport works. But in real time, from minute 1 to minute 90, we're looking at each other a lot, me and Gian, and we're like, this seems a little one-sided of a referee showing. And it showed itself in a lot of ways. And in my opinion, you know, I don't think you can complain about the referee every match because it's subjective. It's only a person who's doing his best to see 22 players moving very fast. But you know, it's something when after the first half, but then really after full time, Messi was furious, so much so that he got a yellow card. And for that to happen to one Messi, who's one of the calmest people to ever play professional sports, and two, in the first match of the season, to be so upset that you get a yellow card, I think says a lot. And so I'm curious to see if, one, we see any, you know, changes with when that referee or the league or general, or if maybe just Inter Miami is going to be called really harshly this year because of what is, you know, quote unquote, quote, competitive advantages. I don't know. But for the first match, it's all I could think about after was like, wow, there was a lot of what is it? What's eyebrow raising moments.
I'm trying to find the right words here. It's like, This was also a very young referee. This referee, from what I was able to tell, was trying to prove something. And like you said, you've mentioned like the MLS and like how maybe they'll try to referee different this year. Maybe this was a referee that was trying to show like, hey, like I know Messi's on the field and I know Busi's on the field. I don't know Suarez and them are on the field, but I'm not going to take anything from them. And so I'm not going to give them calls. I'm not going to gift them. Like, I'm not just going to hand give them calls and fouls and things like that. And maybe he was trying to prove that point, which is not how you would, that's not how you want to officiate. You don't want to officiate in that way. I disagreed with a lot of the calls that were made on the night. And it was, there was a lot of moments, obviously. Well, the red card was, I, like I said before, I agreed with that one. That was a red card. But for, there was a moment where NYCFC should have been down a man. That he was going to give a second yellow to a player. He changed his mind at the last second, which I saw sitting there in the stands. I don't know if the TV caught it, but he was going to go in his pocket and give that NYCFC player another yellow card. And I think he remembered that he was already on yellow and changed his mind last second. And I think that that's probably not he showed confidence, but it was a lot of like false confidence, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I think we definitely needed a different referee for that particular game, home opener for the MLS at Inter Miami, playing or refereeing these big players. The referee wanted to make it all about him, if you ask me about it.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes down to the refereeing, I hate complaining about it, but
I do.
Gotta, me too. Agree. Honestly, me too. Yeah.
I got to agree with Matt, and I've seen this take. It's, you know, he was trying really difficult to show that there was no favoritism. He was trying his best to show that I'm not going to be intimidated by four all-time greats. I'm going to do this as fairly as possible. But what ended up happening is it ended up actually going more in favor of one team. Because, and I don't think he did that on purpose, but maybe maybe his intention was good, but it ended up being wrong. And he did too much in favor of New York City just to prove a point. And he proved it, but he looked bad doing it. Because that card, and I might butcher the name, Tanajevic, or whatever
That's why I didn't say it. That's why I didn't say the name. That's why I didn't say it.
He definitely deserved a second yellow. And that was, you know, that's as far as I'll go with the refereeing. There was definitely something going on there. Messi assist, obviously Messi. It's something that I said going into the season when talking about Messi. And I know that there was a little bit of pushback. I thought that if Messi was not going to break his goal record, it may be because he's going to end up having more assists this season just because of the way that Mascherano is using him. Some said that it would be the opposite. He would score more goals because he's going to have more there's going to be a presence higher up with Suarez and Tadeo and Telasco all taking up, you know, defenders' vision and attention. He may get more space, but I also thought it looks like he's more in a playmaking role this season, a bit more, even though he's always been a playmaker, but under Mascherano a bit more. Yeah. So I definitely were seeing his assists and his and just even more now, especially with a lot more targets. Before it was just him up front and Suarez. Now he's got three guys ahead of him that he can pass to. So, you know, that assist was beautiful, and I expect to see a lot more of those. Going into, I guess, another thing, you know, I was looking at the something else. You don't have any something else's, but I have a something else. And my something else is, I'm not saying I don't want Suarez to start. All I'm saying is I want to see what this team looks like with a fast, young, speedy forward in front of Messi. That's all I want.
Go watch New England Revolution game.
No. Campana's look. Campana was a younger Suarez, in my opinion. I'm talking about a guy like Allen Obando, the Ecuadorian 18-year-old who is fast, and I think that's what I want to see. I want to see what this give me a game. Maybe it doesn't even have to be two. Let me see what this team looks like with Messi having because Tadeo Allende and Telasco in front alongside Suarez is great. They're both good players. I just want speed in the front and just to see what that looks like. I want more runs into space, fast runs into space. There's sometimes that I see Suarez and it looks like he's laboring. We've all said that before. One thing that's good at least is that they asked Mascherano again about Suarez, and Mascherano said, yeah, the dude has messed up knees. But the good thing is that apparently Suarez has said that he's not really experiencing any pain, which is a good thing. How true that is, I don't know. But it looks like he's in a lot of pain. So that's kind of the only thing I would say. I would like to see what this team looks like under that. But I thought it was an interesting pull. Obviously, Messi. I think anytime you put Messi on a pull, he's probably going to get the majority of the votes. Right. What was a little surprising was that it wasn't like over 50%. There were some other things that people thought were bigger issues in that game. And then the injuries and the red card, Jello's out, at least it looks like for now. He didn't practice. Sorry, I made Matt disappear there. He didn't practice. So I thought that was interesting. And then the red card, we already talked about Aviles. But hey, look, we got a really deep team this season.
Yeah.
And this is why we did it. We did it specifically for Abulus. Just kidding. I messed around. But we have a really deep team, and it's because of this, because we're going to have Champions Cup. We're going to have the league, and then we've got a couple other big tournaments coming up. So it was a difficult game, one that we shouldn't have really sweated that much. But at the end of the day, we still have a chance to go undefeated. I'm going fingers crossed to see if we can end an undefeated season.
That's true. Okay. Well, that's a good perspective. Okay. Well, really quickly to wrap it up. I mean, yeah, again, I don't think we'll make every single match about refereeing. It normally isn't. I think for the benefit of doubt, especially after, last week's CONCACAF Champions Cup game, where like obviously at the end the referee asked for Messi's shirt. You can't do that. I'm sure there's a pretty strong message throughout, officiating and everything, like you must be fair, you must be unbiased, even if you want to, etc.
Apparently it was for his kid, but still they said that
you do it in the hallway, you certainly can't do it on the field. maybe he took it too far the other way. It was clearly two yellow cards for the New York City player. It was clearly, I wouldn't say it was clearly a handball, but I would say towards the end, like, that deserved VAR review. I mean, he just was, for every single call for Inter Miami, he was not giving them the benefit of the doubt. And in my opinion, good refereeing is you have to give both teams the benefit and not the benefit, right? Like, it needs to be flowing. And it was just clearly very one-sided in terms of, it's either you have to be 100% correct or perfect, or I'm calling it against you. And that's obviously not a good way to ref. And I think hopefully it will be, one of the last times we have to mention it this season. We'll see.
Hopefully.
For Messi, I will say this, though, just as a reminder, I said this on Scotty Gray's show. I think he's going to get 100 goal contributions by the end of the season after all competitions. I said that. So far in two matches, he has 3. So just saying, I don't know. I'm just saying, you never know. This was what I would say, honestly, not high offensive performances. And he already has 3, right? I don't know. You tell me.
100 goal contributions?
That's goals and assists. Crazy. And that's across 4 competitions. That's remember, this is an 8-month season.
Right.
This is an 8-month season, and could be even longer. It could be 10 months, honestly, if we make it to December into the MLS Cup.
Right.
It's February now. 4 different competitions. You expect us hopefully to get far in Champions Cup. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm hoping too that we're gonna come back to this episode and be like,
yeah,
no, you were right. Honestly, because I honestly didn't think about that. 100 goal contributions. I would love that. Imagine that.
We'll see. And I mean, yeah, he'll go on the international breaks and stuff, but there's no tournaments for Argentina, right? There's no big things that he's got. He's gonna go for the breaks and things like that. But
yeah, just
the knock on wood, no injuries. He'll be playing in at least 80%, I would say, of Inter Miami minutes for this season. And you're telling me, what did he have, 37 goal contributions playing like half? And that was us getting knocked out of the 2 tournaments early? Okay, yeah. Just saying. Yeah. So we'll see. Really quickly before we go, because this was a long episode, we hope you watched. Thank you all so much for participating in the polls, by the way, because I think it helped us create really good discussion. And we want to do this more. Everyone, super quick, give your scoreline predictions for tomorrow's CONCACAF Champions Cup second leg opener against Kansas City. Obviously, we're up 1-0 on aggregate so far after Messi got his lone goal in the frigid, frigid temperatures of Kansas City. How do we think tomorrow's going to go?
I want to say, first of all, everybody got it wrong, so nobody gets a point. Remember, we're keeping track of these things.
Oh yeah, we didn't factor in the red card and 3 injuries. That's my fault. I forgot about that.
But so I think I said like a 3-1 win last time, right? So yeah. I don't know, that obviously didn't happen. I think we have 2 games now in the books. I think we're feeling a lot more comfortable. We're going to be back home in regular temperatures. I think we're going to be performing a lot better now. Obviously, we're not going to have Chelo. We're not going to have Fafa. We're not going to have Avilés. Oh, no, we are going to have Avilés. But whether he plays or not, we don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I just think it's going to be, oh, my God. Well, we're going in with the advantage already, right? We should be looking a lot better, a lot more comfortable. This game is still up in the air. It's anybody's game, so we have to make sure we're not complacent. I still think we're going to get the win at the end of the day. I believe that we're going to win this game 2-1, and then it would be 3-1 on aggregate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Deon? I saw you building because you couldn't figure out what you wanted to say.
You know what? I don't want another Aviles like red. I'm thinking of an Aviles red card. I'm thinking of a Jordi Alba bad pass.
Man, I'm like, going to start like, tomorrow. That'd be so annoying. Anyways, go ahead, Gian.
You ain't beating us in 80 degree weather, bro. Like...
Well, it's going to be like, is it going to be cold again? Or no, is it actually going
to
be 80
degrees? Well, 65 compared to -8, I think they'll take.
As long as we're not in negative temps here in Miami or Fort Lauderdale, I think we're going to be.
It might rain tomorrow, we'll be okay. Too, apparently. Because it's been
okay, so that's what's up. That's our snow. Rain here, that's our snow, dude. Yeah. We're going to. You put the herons can't fly in the snow. We're going to put the, what are these guys supposed to be anyways? Kansas City. I don't even know what they are. What's their mascot?
Do they have a mascot?
I don't, sport in Kansas City. I don't know. I know Royals. No, that may be baseball. I don't know.
All right, whatever. I just typed in Kansas City bird of the state.
And Blue the dog.
What?
So they,
Blue
so
the dog.
Okay, the dog? How about this?
Yeah.
Blue the dog. I'm just gonna go with the easier one.
Oh, the name of the mascot is Blue comma the dog. Okay, got it.
Okay, yeah. Well, you can't walk your dog in the rain, Kansas. Okay, you can't walk your dog in the rain. Not here. Not your blue dog. So I think we're going to. Man, probably should have studied this before. I'm gonna go with. Look, Inter Miami, I think fared very well in the most difficult weather that they've ever played in. Ever, and I think that they're going to go ahead and probably win this one. I'm going to go with 3-0. Now that they thought out, after that cryotherapy session over there in Kansas, they're back here and they're looking good. And I think they're going to really, I think they're really going to put on a show for us. 3-0 is what I'm going.
Can Messi do it on a cold night in Stoke? The answer is yes, he can. He can do it in a colder night. Kansas City, can you do it on a 70 degree rainy evening in Miami? I think the answer is yes. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 Inter Miami win. I think, after Saturday's match, I think everyone's kind of like a little bit more tense, on alert, want to continue pushing positively for the season, keep things moving, prove a point, you know, all that stuff. So I think we'll see an Inter Miami victory. And like I said, I think it'll be multiple goals. I'll say 2-0 because I'm going to hope we get a clean sheet, but I could see 2-1 or 3-1 very, very likely as well. So we'll see. But wow, what a great episode. Honestly, I loved it. And please in the comments, let us know your thoughts. If you agree with our poll results, if you have something different. We love talking to you. We love listening, and man, we have a fun season.
There's
ahead
the culprit.
Of us. Is that Blue the dog?
That's the guy. You're not gonna be walking anywhere, buddy. Ain't no dogs walked in the rain or 80 degrees, whatever. Anyways, sorry about that. Might be.
Learn Thanks, how Matt. To hold it in, buddy.
You're welcome.
Anyways, we got a long season ahead of us so far. So fun, so good, so exciting. A lot more to come. For this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
Miami.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.